to you, which I've entitled Moving Mountains. Now, I understand that's the one of the themes of what's happening around here is moving mountains. And I thought, what better title for the message, Moving Mountains, when we're thinking about the stone being rolled away on Easter morning? I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. So I've done just a little blog on my website. You can see it. It's just very brief. You'll read it in 1 or 2 minutes. But just a little blog, and I refer to it as Resurrection Sunday. And so for me, as I think about the stone being rolled away, the application I would want to offer you is for your life and for the lives of your loved ones. And I really felt that a burden for that within this church. There's a burden for some people here for their loved ones. So for some of you, this message, you can take it, you can store it, you can receive it, it's encouraging, it's okay, it's positive, it's affirming, and it's all good. And that's good. But for others, for some of you as well, as you hear this message and you start to reflect upon your loved ones, whether it's a daughter or a son, whether it's a mother or a father, whether it's a brother or sister, whether it's a cousin or an uncle or an auntie, some of you are concerned about some of your loved ones. And this message is a message that as you hear it, and whether it's recorded or podcast or whatever, when you hear it, you're starting to pray for them and you're starting to think about them. Because I believe that stone that was rolled away, when the stone was rolled away, by the way, the stone wasn't rolled away so we could see what was it, so that Jesus could get out of the tomb. The stone was, Jesus could get out of the tomb without the stone being rolled away. The stone was rolled away so that we could see that Jesus was alive. So that we could go in, so to speak, the two disciples could go in, Peter and John, that they could go in and they could see the linen cloth laid in the tomb. You know, history tells us that linen cloth, and the Bible would suggest that linen cloth was separated so that there was the head piece and the body piece, so which is speaking about Christ rising from the dead. And so we're going to look into various different passages in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, so into each of the synoptic gospels, and also John, and we're going to gain some insights about the miracle of what Jesus did when he rose from the dead. Is that okay? And I promised to have you out here before 3 o'clock. No. Oh, it wasn't 3 o'clock. Someone looked at me strangely. No, it's okay. Are you still awake? You're still alive? You're still doing okay? You're listening? You're with me? Yeah, I loved it when you stamped your feet for welcoming people. So you feel free. If I make a good point, you can stamp your feet if you want to. But that might have most... Oh, good on you, Asa. See, good man. Look at that. Look at that leadership. Straight up, bang, ready to lead. It's responsive. I mean, you guys know that already, so I don't need to prophesy that. But... But responsive and ready to go and leading and influencing, that's all there. So you don't need me to prophesy, just keep doing it, brother. But so if it's a good point, feel free to do that. You know, I'm quite comfortable with that. So I want to take you to Matthew chapter 28 to start with. So these are reflections from Scripture, just looking at, instead of jumping around all sorts of different parts of the Bible, I just want to look into the passages that speak to this. If you read my blog, you'll see often at Easter time, what I do is I read these Easter passages again, and I pray that they will come alive again. Maybe you've been doing that over the last few days. If not, I invite you to do that as well. So we'll do a little reading together. Before we do, in Matthew 28, I'm drawing from a book that an old friend of mine, I think I can call him a friend, certainly a mentor and a teacher of mine named Kevin Connor, wrote, called New Testament Survey. So he gives an outline of various different books of the Bible. So Matthew is known as the Gospel, according to Matthew, the Book of the King. So Matthew's known as the Book of the King. Maybe worth just kind of popping this in your mind, because I believe some of these things are really helpful. So it's written by Matthew, a tax collector who was called by Christ to be one of the 12 apostles. So Jesus called Matthew, he was a tax collector. The distinctive characteristic of Matthew's gospel is it was written to the Jewish mind. So if you think of the audience for the book of Matthew was actually focused for the Jewish mind. Now we get to understand it today, but we'll, as we look at each of the Gospels briefly, we'll see different aspects came out for those Gospels. Now, if I said to you right now, there was a car accident, which trust there wouldn't be, but I've been in situations where there's been car accidents, and you were a witness to the car accident, then you would find if there were six witnesses, there would probably be six different perspectives, six different opinions of what happened. I like the show, let me show another example. I like the show NCIS. I don't know if any of you have ever watched NCIS, but apparently it's a popular show, but Jane and I enjoy it. As I watch the show, they interview different witnesses to find out what happened in different situations. Why do they interview more than one witness? Because out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is confirmed. Well, we're going to look and hear from four witnesses for Jesus and for what happened as we look at the Gospels. So sometimes there's different perspectives that come. So in Matthew 28, fantastic, and it's on this TV as well, isn't it? That's such clever technology, you guys here. Oh, I'm serious. You're kicking above your weight, mate. That's great. I think you understand what I mean by that. That's a good thing. So Matthew 28, verse 1, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, who'd been forgiven so much by Jesus. If we had time to digress, we could focus just on Mary's life. Mary Magdalene, she'd been forgiven for so much. Those who've been forgiven much love much. She loved much. And the other Mary, which we could talk about, it's really interesting to Google the other Mary. If you want to, I'm going to leave it there, went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down. You know, when God comes sometimes in a demonstration of power, there's a physical manifestation of what God does. Sometimes when you pray for people, they fall over. Sometimes they're falling over because it's called a parasympathetic response and they're being cooperative. And sometimes people fall over because someone pushes them. No one's ever fallen over because I push them. I can tell you that. But sometimes people fall over when you're praying for them because God touches them. Sometimes, like we see in Scripture here, when the angel came down, there was an earthquake. We talked already before when Christ was crucified upon the cross and died. There was a shaking in the earth, and remember the skies had darkened and there was lightning and there was thunder and the tombs, the graves gave up their dead. And I tell you, the people would have been horrified with what happened and so fearful. Well, God does mighty things when he interacts with us. So we see, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. So there was this incredible appearance of an angel to be able to point for the disciples to hear and for the women to hear. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. So the guards fainted. That's important for us to remember when you're dealing with apologetics, because there's apologetics is giving an answer for the hope that we have within us, but doing that with gentleness and respect, as it says in 1 Peter. So we need to have an answer, because people will say, well, they just stole Jesus' body, as we'll see. People will say, well, they just stole Jesus' body, but actually they didn't steal Jesus' body. Anyhow, we'll get to that. So we see here, as we look into Scripture, that the guards, they fainted. The angel said to the women who'd come, so that's Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, don't be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. Historic fact, Jesus was crucified. More evidence of the fact that Jesus lived, died, and rose again. More evidence for that than evidence that Julius Caesar lived. More evidence. So historically, there's evidence for this. It's not, let me put it this way, if I may, it's not just a pipe dream. I'm sitting there, and I don't do this, and I trust you don't, but sometimes when I go to Asia, often I'm in Asia in different places, they smoke these things. I sometimes ask them, what's in that stuff? And they smoke these things, and they've got long pipes and stuff like that, and they're sucking them in and stuff. It happens in Australia sometimes too. I was in a restaurant, and this person was blowing out more smoke than I've ever seen in a fire outside the restaurant, and I didn't know what the thing was, but her and her fella, they're smoking away. So I'm not talking about a pipe dream. I'm talking about a reality, a historical fact of what happened for Jesus. That's what we're seeing here. So he was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Jesus said he would rise from the dead. So this is a miracle that we can believe. But this is not only a miracle we can believe. This is a miracle we can trust in. Not only a miracle we can just trust in. This is a miracle we build our lives upon. Because if we don't build our lives upon something, upon the rock of the foundation of the truth of God's word, then we're actually missing out. So I want to strengthen your faith, strengthen your belief today as you think about what Jesus did as he rose from the dead. So he's not here. He's gone ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him. Now I've told you. And I love this verse in verse 8. It says, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. Have you ever been afraid but filled with joy? You've got this anticipation that something's going to happen. Something great's happening. You're not sure what it is, but you're a little bit fearful about it, but you're so excited about it because it's such an important event. That's what was happening to these two Marys. And what did they do in response? Did they run away? No, they ran immediately to tell the other disciples so that they could hear the truth of what had happened. But as they went, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples, suddenly would be a good word to stop with. We talked about transportation for these two guys, but you ain't seen nothing yet if you look at what happened for Jesus in this situation. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, greetings, he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. Who's ever heard Jesus speak to them? I'm not talking audibly. I'm talking within your own heart. Within your own heart. Am I with a group of Pentecostals or what's happening? Who's ever heard Jesus speak to them? Put your hand up if you've do I have to do the teaching thing? Okay, put your hand up if you've ever heard Jesus speak to you in your heart. In your heart. Quicken, say something to you. He's talking with you. That's what happened, but even more. Jesus actually appeared to them. He greeted them. As soon as he greeted them, greetings, he said. As soon as he said that to them, immediately they fell, they grabbed his feet, and they worshipped him. When Jesus speaks to you, you know it, don't you? You know it when Jesus is speaking to you. I pray Jesus will speak to your lives and it will come alive for you this Easter time, even while we're preaching today, but throughout the day, and that this moment, in fact, for you as a church, would be the beginning of new things. In fact, I felt a prophetic word for you as a church, for Life Solutions Church. And this was the word that I felt. I think you're recording this, aren't you? So you can go back over it and pray about it and pray through it. The word I felt for you as a church was that this day, this moment, this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday is the beginning of new things, says the Lord. The stone has been rolled away that has been put over your church as a limit. Someone, somewhere, has spoken over this church to limit this church from growth for the future. I don't know whether it was witchcraft that prayed over it, whether it was negative words that were spoken over it, whether it was someone that said something negative, but somewhere a lid was put over this church. But what I saw God do, and you don't have to worry about the lid, because what I saw God doing was he was blowing it off. He was blowing it open, just like the tomb was opened and just like there was resurrection for Jesus. At least one person believes it. I see God's lifting and blowing, not just lifting, but blowing off the lid that's been on this church. And as a prophetic declaration, I'm declaring to you that what I'm seeing is God's lifting off the lid off this church. He's taking this church to a new level starting today. As he's taking this church to a new level, as you receive that in your heart, as you mix that with faith, says the Lord, then God is going to take and use you to multiply this church for his kingdom. Because the word of the Lord to you is he, God, is not satisfied yet with what he sees in Life Solutions Church. He sees your love for one another. He sees your acceptance unconditionally of all people. He sees your value for his word and your love and delight in the work of his spirit. He sees these things. But he's wanting to invert you as a church and multiply you as a church. And I see him blowing the lid off this church and removing that negative word that's been spoken over this church and removing the obstacles. Growth starts today. That's the word of the Lord for you. You decide what you do with it. I have no doubt about it. I have absolutely no doubt about it. In fact, let me put it this way. If I had any doubt about it, I wouldn't share it prophetically. Because I have no doubt about it. Growth begins today. Now, when a prophetic, let me just teach briefly to digress. When a prophetic word comes, it's up to you what you do with it. You have to mix it with faith. I'm not putting that on you. I'm not telling you, you must do, you must not. That's up to your leadership and you as a church. But God's ready to work with you as you mix it with faith, as you take it forward, and then God's going to do mighty things through this church. He already is, and that's wonderful. But he, not me, he is not satisfied with this church yet because he's taking it to a new level and he's blowing off the lid and he's going to cause that growth to come. Amen? Do you receive that? It's up to you. But if you receive that, I want you to pray that, believe that, and see God do that. So, back to Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Now, you see in the rest of Matthew 28, you see the lies that the soldiers tried to do as the women went away. Then you see at the end of Matthew 28, I don't have a whole lot of time to go there, but I want to show you that after Jesus rose from the dead, so after his burial, after his crucifixion, his burial, he rose from the dead and he appeared to the disciples. In each of the Gospels, there's something so transformative at the end of each of the Gospels for what Jesus did. After all, I don't know about you. I'm not trying to make you sad here, but if you're sitting at the bedside of someone that's ready to pass away and you're hearing their final words, Jesus knows these are his final words. His final words are his most important words to his disciples. So Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, as it says there, I'm not going to paraphrase it, I've got it in front of me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. The promise that God's with us always. The challenge that he gives to us is the Great Commission. My brother and sister, Pastor Kelvin and Irene, you're going to be asked to even multiply further disciples for the kingdom. Even as this church continues to grow, God's going to use you in different places to see the kingdom grow. As you come and go, you'll be planted here, but as you come and go, you'll be developing and building more disciples for the King. And I just see you multiplying that for the King. Sorry, I'm seeing a little one and I'm just making sure. They've got him. You've got him, haven't you? Don't be too distracted. I just didn't want the chairs to fall on him. I think it's okay. All right, let's keep going. Mark chapter 16. Would you stay with me? Are you still there? Mark chapter 16, just want to take you to this view, this perspective. Remember we said different perspectives, this perspective of what Jesus did. So when the Sabbath, and this is what I want you to be thinking about as we're going through these passages, and it's all right, I'll accelerate because I promised to finish before 3 o'clock. They say if you say something often enough, people will believe it. So I'm very naughty. So God shows us, through what Jesus has done for us, that he does miracles. That's what I want you to take a hold of as we're looking through these scriptures. So my question for you, Sean, my question for each person here, for Michael, my question for Ken, they're just some people whose names I remember. My question for Marta, my question for each person is, what miracle do you want to have God do in your life? And you might say to me, look, right now, I'm just so thankful for the miracles that God's doing in my life for Malcolm and Anne. I'm just so thankful and Nathaniel. And God's so good to me and Chris and so many others of you. God's so good to me. And right now, look, I'm happy for any miracles, but I'm okay. And that might be the case. But you might, as you're praying, recognize that you're wanting to see miracles for someone else. Then I want to encourage you to mix your faith for them. And Stephanie might be praying for someone. And as she's praying for someone, she might believe that this message, this transformative message of the stone being rolled away, of mountains being moved, she could pray this for a friend or for a loved one or for a workmate or for a family member. And she could see God do a miracle in their lives. That's what I'm praying, that this message would go to you, but it would multiply through you. And it will, won't it, Asa? Yeah, amen? It'll multiply through you guys into others. So, my question for you then is, where is your faith up to? Have you got the faith as much as a mustard seed? I'm told, I must get my wife to show me a mustard seed sometime because she's clever about those sort of things. But I'm told a mustard seed is really, really small. But I'm also told a mustard tree is really, really big. So the message that we get from the principle that Jesus taught in one of his parables is, if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we're going to see the miracles of God. So where's your faith up to? Have you got a faith as large as a mustard seed, Isaac? Have you got faith as large as a mustard seed? Amen. So I'll come to that in a minute. Let me go to Mark. Okay, there's so much I want to say, but it's all right. So when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, this is verse 1, and Salome bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. This was historical. This is what they did. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise. Don't you love sunrises? I love sunrises and just the hope that starts each sunrise. I pray that you have that hope, as we were hearing about earlier, after the worship, that hope in Christ for miracles to happen. They were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, who will roll a stone away from the entrance of the tomb? We know the answer. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Like if you saw a young man in white that was shining and radiant and brighter than lightning, and he was sitting there on a stone, and the tomb had been rolled away. And I think it took, I forget the exact history, but about 8 men to roll the stone, the rock, it was a big rock over the tomb, and they put a seal over it. And historically, if that seal was broken, people's lives were taken, so they were killed if they broke the seal. And they get to the tomb and they've gone in faith. They've bought those spices, so they've spent money in faith to step out. Have you ever been on a missions trip and in faith you just go and you trust that God's going to guide because he's quickened you to step into that? Well, in that situation, they stepped out in faith. And so they took the spices. They believed that somehow they could anoint Jesus' body to honor him. But they found that the rock had been rolled away, the tomb clasps had been broken, so the law had been broken, the Roman law had been broken, and there's this angel sitting on the rock. And it's not just some, sorry to say, but the media tells us some wimpy little angel sitting there with wings flapping away. It's a mighty ferocious angel, more ferocious even than Vereen. So it's, sorry, Vereen. It's not fair, is it? It's good for you. It's good for you. So even more ferocious than that, this angel that was shining, standing, sitting there and shining. And so they were a bit alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. And I used to love this. I don't know about you, but when I was a younger man, I'd write all these cards to all my friends that didn't yet know Christ. And I'd say, he has risen. Jesus is alive. My daughter, I think she was about 6, wasn't she? Was she 6 or 8? When she would write the 8, she'd write these little notes in an aged care facility. Jesus loves you. And she wrote all of these notes, maybe 20 or 30 notes to all of these older people, and she'd give them to them. She'd knock on their door, and an eight-year-old girl, who's going to send them away? And she went to these older ladies, maybe they were 70 or 80 or 90, and she'd give them these notes. We didn't know until about 20 or 30 of them had gone out. And we said to Rachel as we sat with her, we said, "Darling, you wrote these notes to all these men and women that were in their rooms and you handed these notes to them. Why did you do that? Jesus is alive." And she said, "Mummy and Daddy, they had to know about Jesus because they need to find Jesus before they die, because otherwise they're going to miss out on being in heaven with Jesus." So she knew, clear as a bell as a little child, the resurrection story. She knew the truth of the miracle of God, and she knew Jesus was alive. And so your children out there, if I was speaking to the children, I would say that's not only your future, it's your presence. Your present. And your present, they can carry that message and they can share that message. She led her younger sister to the Lord, and then when before she was 10 or so or something like that, she led my grandmother to the Lord, so her great-grandmother. So God can use children. Jesus is alive. So taking that truth from Mark, and we see that revelation there, so he's risen, he's not here, see the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter. Now, I didn't tell you, but if we look at the book of Mark, Mark was written particularly with the Roman mind in focus. It's the book of the servant, and it's written by a fellow called John Mark. You know him, who was a cousin of Barnabas and a companion of Peter. In fact, some people say the book of Mark is a bit like the gospel according to Peter, because Peter wouldn't have been a writer, so he was influencing some of the things that Mark was saying. Well, if we look at Mark, it's the shortest gospel. It's got the most action. It's got the most miracles. It's presented in a way that brings in action to those situations. So that would be fairly consistent. That's why biblical scholars will tell us that the book of Mark there is written in such a perspective. What I'm wanting to show you is this. May I just have your names? What's your name? Hayden and Hayden and Haley, good. And your name? Fritz. Hayden, Haley, Fritz, and Bebe. Bebe, Bebe, Bebe. So if Bebe saw something, she would believe, I'm just reminding you, she would believe that something was right, correct? She saw it. She saw a baby in her arms. And as she saw the baby in her arms, she would have a perspective of the little baby as she was looking down. What's the baby's name? Whitney. So she'd have a perspective of Whitney. But if Hayden turns around and sees Whitney, do you mind turning around? Thanks. It's hard. Thanks. So she would see Whitney and she'd have one perspective. But if Amy, was it Amy? Haley, sorry. Haley turned around and saw Whitney. Yeah, is she going to do it? No, almost. Okay. Maybe she wouldn't see Whitney. But Fritz would get a different perspective of Whitney. So that's what I'm wanting to say to you. That's why I read each of the Gospels, because I want to see their different perspectives and what they mean. But they all point to the miracle working of Jesus and the moving of mountains and the incredible things that God did. So he's gone ahead of you. So notice, go and tell his disciples and Peter. There you'll see him, just as I told you, trembling and bewildered. The women went out and fled from the tomb, said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And then it goes on and we see in Mark 16, and it's a powerful passage in Mark 16, the rest of the gospel there, which we don't have time to go to. Because I want to take you to Luke chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they'd prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Luke 24, but when they entered, they didn't find the body of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Some people have said, clearly the Bible can't be true because it says in one gospel there was one angel, and in other gospels it said there's two angels. So since there's discrepancy, how can you believe the truth? That's why I've tried to show you sometimes we have different perspectives and see different things. So here they saw the two angels. As they saw the two angels that were there, At that moment, a second angel had come. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen." Every one of the Gospels says the same thing. No denying that. The Son of Man, remember how he told you the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, that's to the disciples, because Judas had gone by now, and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, and it tells you who it was. And Peter got up and he ran. He wanted to run to the tomb and to see this thing. And John goes on to say, I don't have time to take you there, but John goes on to say, Peter and the other disciple ran to the tomb and they saw where Jesus' body had laid, but he wasn't there. He'd risen from the dead. So here's my question for you as we bring this towards a close, and then I've got a brief video for you to have a look at. So for you, my question for you as you think about it for yourself and also for your loved ones, are there miracles that you need to see in your life? We'll pray for them today before we finish. Are there miracles for your loved ones that you're wanting to see happen? We'll pray for those too, and you can stand in for them that God would do miracles for them. Could it be a marriage restored? Wouldn't that be incredible if there's a marriage where there's separation or where there's been heartache? Or a relationship restored? Would it be maybe that someone you know needs miraculous healing? We were praying before the service that God would bring in miraculous healing for people's lives. Maybe it's you, maybe it's a loved one. Or maybe there's provision to come out of crippling debt. You know someone that's been in debt for maybe even a decade. Or so much debt and they're in crippling debt, or maybe you've been struggling with that, God can bring a miracle in that situation. What about freedom from life-controlling addictions? It could be that you're stuck in an addiction. No one else knows, but you know you are, and it's a hidden addiction. God can set people free from those addictions, or maybe you know a loved one or a family member or friend that's suffering from that. Or what about to be set free, the greatest miracle of all, to be set free from sin, to be set free from not knowing Christ, but meeting Christ for the first time, to know the miracle of meeting and following Jesus. Now, my sense is that I'm speaking to a group of believers, but maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. I don't want to miss out on mentioning to you that it's the greatest decision you can ever make. And what a great time to make that decision at Easter time. We're going to come in to look at a song. It's by a singer named Leona Lewis. And it's not Who Rolled Away the Stone, because we've kind of been looking at that. But it's actually Footprints in the Sand. And as you look at Footprints in the Sand, I want to invite you to be thinking, what is God speaking to you about? And it could be, as you're listening to the song, God starts to speak to you for yourself. My guess is, for at least about a half of you, God will speak to you for yourself. But also, for some of you, he'll be speaking to you for other people. So just allow him to minister to you as Leona Lewis sings this song. And you'll see the visuals there. I find it quite impacting. And then at the end of that, I'll pray for you as a group. And then I'll invite you to come up for prayer. So thanks very much.